Congratulations! You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Now I have got a wonderful interviewee in. I have got Harry Elmy here to chat to us about the Goon Show adaptation, which I'm very excited to learn about because my information was promptly deleted when I arrived at work. So I am interviewing you not just for advertising, but for real. What the hell are we talking about?
The deep state, they got my info package before it could land on the screens. Yes, yes, dear listeners, it is I, Harry Elmy, director of The Goon Show.
Yes.
And maybe before we start talking about The Goon Show, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? Are you a student? What sort of stuff are you into and what's gotten you here?
Yeah, so yes, my name's Harry Elmy and I'm a third year student at the University of Otago, currently in my last undergraduate year for a BA in History and Theatre Studies.
Cool.
And what's got me here today is my dear, dear, dear love of theatre, my dear, dear, dear love of directing. I can't stop myself. Mm-hmm. And the desire to advertise my show, which is premiering this Thursday and Friday at 1 p.m. at Allen Hall.
Yeah, and is this a part of Art Week?
It just so happens to be a coincidence.
Be artistic and on the week of art.
Well, I'm sure nothing is a coincidence with theatre genius Martin Roberts, who conducts the Lunchtime Theatre programme. But this is the first week of the second semester for the Lunchtime Theatre programme.
Awesome.
We're the flagship holders. We are the flagship in the naval fleet here. Yeah,
yeah. Cool. And what do you get up to on those lunchtime sessions?
What we get up to in those lunchtime theatre sessions is starting this week for several weeks to come for the rest of the semester. Mm-hmm. There will be a theatre show in Allen Hall 1 p.m. Thursday and Friday for very, very cheap for all students to come and enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Oh, that's really cool. And so what's the Goon Show? What's it got to do? What's the Goonies? What are you doing with that?
What am I doing with that? Oh, nonsense. Utter nonsense. Oh, how to answer that question. Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
The Goon Show started in 1951 and ended in 1960. Mm-hmm. And a way to summarize the Goon Show is by just saying the names. It's like saying names from the Bible. It's Spike Milligan, it's Peter Sellers, it's Harry Secombe, these sort of gods of comedy.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Spike Milligan, everyone should know Harry Secombe, and everyone should know Peter Sellers. And if you don't know those names, there are such famous movies as Dr. Strangelove, in which those assorted characters featured.
Yeah.
The Goon Show was a radio comedy. It was trailblazing in that. It really played with the medium of radio comedy. You didn't see it, you just heard every bit of it. And it was just this utter nonsense. You could use so many poncy words to describe it, like surreal, avant-garde. But I think a better way to describe it is just that invisible comedy where one character will say goodbye and you'll hear the door close and it's the other character who's left.
Yeah. Cool. And that sort of helped bring in a whole generation of what's become like slapstick comedy and stuff like that as well, alongside that kind of classic silly British taking the piss kind of whimsical but satirical comedy as well that like is almost the standard now, what you see on like late night TV in particular as well, apart from maybe talk show hosts taking over the world, but
you'd be surprised regarding talk night hosts. Saturday Night Live was inspired by the Goon Show.
Yeah.
And for those who might not have heard the Goon Show because it is of a generation, Monty Python
was
deeply inspired, they say it themselves, by the Goon Show.
Yeah, very much. You can see a lot of the same, even the same punchlines. cool. And so what is the Goon Show adaptation?
The Goon Show adaptation, because it's a radio-only comedy, we're bringing it to stage. And the Goon Show adaptation this time round is foiled by President Fred.
cool. And what is who's President Fred?
Who's President Fred? Well, that's the question, isn't it? Foiled by President Fred has a great inspiration by the James Bond films. The script Foiled by President Fred came out in 1955. The first James Bond came out in, I believe, 1953. And there's a great overlap between those two productions. Peter Sellers did actually feature in later life in Casino Royale. And one of the Goon characters, one Count Jim Moriarty, it was said he died terribly against Sherlock Holmes, you know, which lives in a similar genus to James Bond and revived in the Goon Show. So I shan't answer that question. They'll have to come see who is President Fred.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I only recently read the Hounds of Baskerville, the Sherlock Holmes book, which was written in like maybe the mid 1890s, and it was written after they'd killed off Sherlock, and it kind of it made me think a lot culturally about similar to radio being the medium for comedy and shows. You obviously hear that with things like War of the Worlds is another one of the big ones that kind of pushed radio to a new level, but that actually these sort of Sherlock comic strips or short stories, sorry, that were in newsletters or newspapers were something that everyone followed and felt like it was a part of their life. It was one of the sort of creative elements of reality that you got to see each week what he'd done. And then he actually literally got killed in it, or he died falling off a bridge. And spoilers, and from if anyone's from 1887,
damn, I was nearly at that part. Yeah.
but at the time, that would have really felt like he's dead, he's gone. The person that you're attached to every week, that you go home and check the newspaper to see what's happened to him. And so then when he was brought back for Hounds of Baskerville, it was like a miracle. People were so excited. That's a trope that is used now to sell every single product we have. Like every movie is, we brought back Superman, we brought back this guy, we brought back this guy.
And now that you say it, when did James Bond originally die?
Yeah, I can't think
what
of
day?
It.
Well, I'm sure it was before the 50s.
Yeah.
I think that the Goon Show might be, if accidentally, riffing off that trope as well, because at the end of most Goon Shows, there's a bit of a history. There was 10 series of the Goon Show, about 200 episodes. But the end of most Goon Shows, most of the characters have died horribly.
Blue Bottle
will narrate how he's been deaded again. And how Ned Segoon often dies horribly. And the next episode, they're just all back as if nothing happened.
I suppose
it riffs on that trope, as you say.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, that subversion of expectation in those mediums, because we really can't imagine how much it would have felt like your whole world when you're listening to that. And so to hear someone take the piss out of it, like to hear someone have a character die and for them to actually come back is really, really different to any medium before that. Like, no one had heard of that before. Sherlock was maybe the first time that happened, and that was a dramatic, decade-long thing.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, it definitely pioneered that surreal, sort of unserious, almost cartoonish ways in other ways, you know. One of the characters, Eccles, and you can ask me about the characters if you're intrigued.
Yeah, let's totally let's do it.
Eccles had an inspiration from Goofy from the Disney cartoons.
Yeah.
And it's not just that these were a cast of characters who'd come back to life, like some of those modern cartoons. Sort of time and space meant nothing to them.
Yeah.
There are historicals in the Goon Show where it's not like the goons have gone back in time. They just happen to be in their exact same names, personalities, demeanors, but another time and space without a blink, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Oh, no, that's really, really cool. So let's do characters. What characters are we maybe expecting to see? What can you give away?
What can I give away? Oh, I can give away everything, but I shan't. I shan't. I'll explain. The Goons have quite a large cast, but there is a main cast that features on our lovely poster that you shall be seeing everywhere. There's our main character, Ned Segoon, affable, typical British idiot and cad. Oftentimes the dumb man who's taken advantage of in the plot, but he does it with a smile. God bless his heart. Then there's Eccles, sometimes known as Mad Dan Eccles, Home Secretary for 3 days until the printing error was discovered. He's the sort of dumb, oafish, rag-wearing character with a bit of stupidity about him. Famously, he picked up 2 sticks of dynamite and said, "What luck! 2 cigars and they're both lit!" you've got Blue Bottle, this sort of young schoolboy, this Boy Scout, influenced by the accents in North London. He's very energetic. He loves his licorice. He does.
Cool.
There's Major Dennis Bloodknock, member of the 3rd Regular Army Deserters, a womanizer, a big fat man, and a lover of robbing people and running away. And then there is our villainous duo. We have Hercules Greatype Thine, a evil British principal of all people, a very James Bond type personality, and Count Jim Moriarty, a French aristocrat who's a bit short on money and is going to take yours. That rounds out the core cast of the Goon Show.
Cool. Yeah, and I feel like Moriarty's really really become a part of like popular conscious, even just language. It's one of those things you could say something is like Moriarty and people it's almost yeah, transcended just being its association.
Very famous name, yeah.
Yeah, and so would you be able to tell us a little bit about how you went about adapting something from a radio show to being to being on stage?
No, as you might imagine, working with radio as long as you have, it's a pretty difficult endeavor to go through, because so much of the comedy is what you can't see.
Yeah.
So much of the comedy is able to be exaggerated. Radio comedy is wonderful. You've got nothing, but the listener thinks you've got a mountain. Mm-hmm. It's this wonderful world of adaptation. So we were really stumped for a while. Mm-hmm. Originally, because I directed a Goon Show last year, mm-hmm. I was thinking I was going to do a straight adaptation. Mm-hmm. It was going to be depicting what happened on the stage, literally. And that would have been really, really difficult.
Yeah.
But then, like an angel from heaven, down comes Martin Roberts of the Theatre Studies Department, who runs the Lunchtime Theatre Programmes. Mm-hmm. And he suggested that we sort of find somewhere in the middle, mm-hmm. where we depict the recording studio of these kooky characters, because the goons were all characters, the mm-hmm. actors behind them, and break down the wall between that mm-hmm. and the audience. Mm. So we're able to almost semi-adapt it. So there's a gavel. Mm-hmm. So we have someone stage hit a gavel.
Yeah.
But also, because these people are silly, you know, he rides a bicycle, so we get a bicycle bit, and he just runs around stage like a lunatic.
Yeah, yeah.
We have live mics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a unique experience. Cool. You get to look into that space.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds really cool. And I love that sort of adaptation of the more like modern meta way of thinking, and that everyone does know the reality now of what that radio is like. Mm. And so how do you approach that, and like being able to play with those fourth and third walls is such a cool way to have a whole new medium to get to explore, and then get to see how people react to as well, and like learn from too.
Yes, it's once in a lifetime, folks. Four-dimensional theatre coming to you.
Cool. Well, it sounds very, very exciting, mm-hmm. and very interested to hear and more, and hopefully get to see it myself too. But could you tell us some of the details about where people could find out more and how to see it themselves? Of course.
Of course. Humanitix is where the tickets are up. If you mm-hmm. Google Dunedin Goons, if you Google Dunedin Goon Show, Dunedin Foiled by President Fred, mm-hmm. that will come up, as regard, and also a series of other advertising I've been doing. Mm-hmm. The tickets are $5 for students, $10 for adults. Mm-hmm. The sort of concession wage tickets business. Mm-hmm. There are also door tickets, but I've got a bit of paper here. It says, please, please, please buy the tickets beforehand, or else we might sell out and we'll have to turn you away and we'll cry. And I think there's a slight stain of a teardrop here from Martin Roberts himself. So would encourage you to buy tickets via Humanitix.
Cool. Awesome. Very, very exciting. And yeah. Super, super cool that you've managed to do that. I'm looking forward to hearing more about what you managed to do in the future as well, because it sounds like you've got all sorts of busy excitingness going on. Thanks so much for joining us. And have you got any last words for the listeners to, whether that's about the show or just wanting to say something out to the world of listeners to Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi?
We've got a great cast, a great returning cast. They are addicted to Lunchtime Theatre, but Dunedin should be addicted to Lunchtime Theatre.
Yeah.
We're the first of many. Come in, pop in, pick up a brochure and see what else is on offer. We're not the only goons in town. There's goon mania everywhere, because to be a goon is just to have a bit of fun, you know, on stage in Allen Hall.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Harry. It's been a real pleasure to have you on. I've loved the chat. We'll see you again very soon, I'm sure.
Lovely. Thank you for having me.
Cool. That was Harry Elmy there chatting about the new Goon Show adaptation. And we have...
That was a Radio 191 FM podcast. Find more at r1.co.nz.